Good now, right now, wherever and whenever you are. This is Daryl Webster from, I just about said Modern Workplace Change. It's rolling off my tongue. Sorry. We're the 365 Message Center show. And today we're going to be taking a look at the full screen support for Microsoft Teams meetings. It's gone again. It's back again. Is it really back? Teams accounts and how that sort of the thing is changing up with that experience. There's some updates to meeting chat, a few things about OneDrive, and SharePoint Spaces has got a little touchy. Well, roll it.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Hello, yep. Daryl, coming to the show from the wonderful island country of New Zealand. How's the island doing today?
It's a beautiful collection of islands, the place where we are very original with the names of our two main islands, North and South, Stewart Island, Chatham Islands, and many other islands around it. We're looking forward to bringing an interesting show to you. Look, our format's changed up, as you've seen, over the last few months, where we focus on a few messages and try and do them justice, because there's just so much coming through now, isn't there, Daniel?
There is, and there's so much coming through. And, you know, one thing that we kind of promise on this show is that we're going to give you insights. We're not going to read the message to you. Hopefully you can do that yourself. we're bringing you some insights into what's going on, and even those that are, you know, not showing up for us, and at least not for as a message. We're here to bring you that insight, and we're enjoying our time doing it.
That's right. There's an interesting mix today. We are focusing on a few things that are more about the user experience, just a little bit there around admin. But do take a close look at the messages yourself, as Daniel suggests, because there are some things there that would pay to take a closer look as an admin and understand what's going on. And there's some regular ones in there too, that you'll see around upgrading of Office, and there might be time to address a few other things there that I've just left in the list, so we'll come back to that. Anyway, our first message is about our meeting experience. Daniel, tell us about it.
It is. So this message is full screen support in new meetings experience. This is MC226680. And this is something that you probably have already seen because they've already rolled this out. This is by the way, we forgot to tell you something we rolled out.
Don't you love how they just, it was very matter of fact. We rolled this out in late October.
Yeah, we already did this. So, if you got some feedback for us, fine, but we've already rolled it out, so we really don't care. No, that's not what they're going to say. But they rolled this out in late October. Thanks for the notice. Appreciate it. It is available for Mac and PC, Windows, and so you're able to get that full screen experience for your meeting. And this is for the new meeting experience, right? So it pops out the meeting from Teams, and so you're able to full screen that by just going to the ellipsis, the three dots, clicking the more options, and it acts a little bit differently for Mac and PC. So for Mac, it actually hides the title bar on the top and the bottom of the window are hidden. But in Windows, it's just the taskbar is hidden. So that's interesting. And then they snuck in this message. Oh, by the way, remember focus mode. You're able to select someone and apply focus to that person in your meeting. And what that would do is it brings that person into focus. They're shown only, everybody else's video is removed from the view. You could still see their videos, but you down below, but you can't, it's not in the full view. I think then the focus mode, it's depends on who wants to change it in the meeting. But whether or not people like your selection or not, but because it can be changed depending on permissions. And it says what you need to do, maybe let people know that it's already there. This is one of those, I think, which is nice, you know, kinda in a roundabout way. We can actually, you know, show people, you know, you can actually demo this. So when you're putting together information for your users to say, hey, this is a part of your meeting experience and what you can do, you can actually demo for them now since they've already rolled it out. So anyway, that's pretty much it. I mean,
yeah. The first time I saw anything about it, Stephen Collier's got a video. I'll just drop it in the chat. I tried twice to drop it in there, and I just wrote Stephen C. Stephen C. No, what I meant to do was hit the apostrophe so I could say Stephen C's video. Anyway, it's there for you to check it out. We'll probably have to drop it into the comments as well. He observed that it was full screen. Really? Is it really a full screen mode? It's certainly not what we had beforehand when we had our floating toolbar. So it was fully immersive, no edges to the video. I could full screen Daniel or a gallery view. But what it is, as you say, Daniel, and the Windows one actually doesn't quite match what they've described here in the message. What I see is a Windows taskbar disappears. Our title bar for the Teams app eventually disappears. What you still have is your toolbar along the top for the Teams meeting, controlling those bits and pieces. And if you've got multiple people in the video, then that's down there along the video bar. So that's why they mention that focus mode, that if you want to focus on the content or the people that are in the meeting, then that will apparently at least drop the video gallery down the bottom. But you're still left with our non-floating toolbar for Teams sitting along the top, full screen. I like to focus. So yeah, I think that my opinion is that if they've got a full screen button, that it combines the behavior of focus mode plus getting rid of various toolbars and taskbars and show us the full content, whether it be video or people.
Yeah, and I think the expectation here when you say full screen is set by, you know, other apps. You know, when you put a web page in full screen, for instance, mm-hmm. you don't see anything else. When you put a video, when you're, you know, watching a video, you put it full screen, there is nothing else on the screen other than the video. You can hover your mouse over it and it'll show things, right? But I think that's where the exceptions are being taken with this being called full screen, is that it's not the same experience for users when they're using it.
And there's that you can't have both. You know, they got rid of the floating toolbar because people got frustrated that they had to wiggle their mouse and then control their call controls and do things. So now there's this constantly present toolbar along the top.
Was frustrating. I mean, let's admit it. That was very frustrating to your mouse because it didn't, it was not very responsive. And so you'd have to kind of wiggle and people got really frustrated. And there was this big outcry of, give us freedom, you know, they get rid of that so we don't have to do that. And now it's okay, but we got full screen and wouldn't it be nice to have that back? you know, anyway.
What if when we chose full screen that we got the floating toolbar? There's the middle ground. If you want full screen.
But I think there would have to be some re-engineering going on there. That's probably what it, you know, I'm guessing here, but that's probably what it was. It's just, hey, we've got to totally re-engineer this if we're going to, you know, bring that back, kind of, right? And so let's get this out. Could it change? Yes, absolutely. It could change in the future. So, yeah.
One thing I don't think it will be able to do is that auto hide behavior we can do with with some other things. But, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. So next up, Daryl.
Yes.
We have another Teams announcement, and this is all about accounts and guests and such, right?
Yeah. Now it may feel cosmetic, but it pays to draw people's attention to this one. The title doesn't say a lot, just that it's to do with accounts, Microsoft Teams accounts, MC226 759. This is about the control that we use when we need to change between tenants that we have been invited to as guests. Now, if you're the sort of person that is just working in your org, you don't get invited to work with other organizations using Teams, this is not for you. Don't worry about it. Though there is another element to this. accounts. And we talked about this last week. There is the ability or coming the ability to add your personal accounts to the desktop app. If you're using Teams Personal and you want to be able to switch between working in the workspace and teamwork and bits and pieces, and then you're swapping over to organizing this weekend's 21st party or whatever. Sorry, this is relevant to me. I've got a 21-year-old turning this week. It's like, okay, so you can switch between the two if you're using Teams Personal too in that sort of life. But if we just go on down and have a look at it, this experience, what we do have currently today is you go up beside the name and you can drop down and you can choose between the different tenants, accounts that you've been invited into, different people's tenants, different organizations' tenants. This is... The way they're talking about it is it's like a second level to go in and choose. So when you open up beside your profile photo, you're going to have accounts and orgs. You have to click that to get into the list of tenants that you've been invited to as a guest or accessing your personal account. So it's a double click. What is it that... I mean, it doesn't seem like a lot, but maybe it's about restructuring the menu to... give it more space for other things. What else do we see there, Daniel? We see something about setting the status message, do not disturb, and changing your status. That's not really different. What else?
I think you're probably right. Just it is more of a cleaning this up a little bit. But I think the double, you know, that kind of hiding it, not necessarily hiding, but it is kind of hiding. But if you think about it, for a lot of people, not even a majority, but for a lot of people, they have a lot in that list. Mm-hmm. And it could be that this is more of a, you know, allowing us to, for those of us that do have a lot, to, you know, manage it better and to show a little bit better of an experience, I guess, from it. But it is that extra... And I think it's very interesting that they've got add a personal account to both locations. That's very interesting to me that why have it in both? I mean, I can understand why it's in both, but do we need it in both? It's just kind of an emphasis on getting us to use that personal account.
Maybe that's it. I mean, look, think about it. If we did add a personal account, maybe I'll do this a bit later. Just to see what that behavior is like. But when I see accounts and orgs in that menu, am I going to see my personal account immediately under that as if to say, here, we're making it really easy for you to switch to that personal account that we all want you to use? Or only see it in that list?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we will or not. That'll be interesting. That'll be a good test to have. I know there's some things coming up with personal accounts and such that are planned, but I don't know if they'll call it out there special, like on that left-hand side image there. So that'll be interesting.
So yeah, reading that message closer, there are some other changes coming, happening in Q1 of next year, and will be announced through the message center, so that's all deep and mysterious. You may consider updating your training and documentation as appropriate. As usual. So when is this rolling out? Standard release available mid-November. So now, GCC early available December now at tenant levels. And that is that around accounts. Now, this next one is more of a change to how the message center works, Daniel. And because we are focused on the message center, we do want to occasionally talk about that change in experience.
Yeah, so this one is Office Client Service Health Communications, MC22666. Why did I get this one? So they are renaming Office, and I'm doing quotes here, okay? So Office Client Applications, end quote, to, start quote, Microsoft 365 Apps, end quote. So it's just a rename, making sure that when you go and look at Service Health in your tenant to see if everything's up and operational, this is something that I think you should do on a regular basis, really, because especially for those that are responsible for support, whether that's level one all the way up to level three, maybe providing support, you want to know if there's issues so you can get out in front of it. So this is about, you know, are there issues with any of the services? And they're going to rename, instead of it saying Office Client Applications, they're going to say Microsoft 365 Apps. Just know that what they're talking about are those apps, you know, that you install, that you have, that are client apps. So that's what it is. This is going to happen November 19th, which I think that's a familiar date to us because that's when other updates are going to happen. But November 19th, it's going to hit. It's going to drop on the
Were those, and it just if you can recall, were those other updates expected? Were they in the change to the message center and the admin experience? I think that that's what all, they're all aligned with, aren't they?
Yes, just aligning everything. I mean, we've been talking about 365 apps for a while, and I think it's just aligning the messaging, the labeling in the admin center to so that everything is just named the same. I think this is not something end users will see. It's but those that have the permissions to come into the admin center, those that have the permissions to see Service Health, they will see that. I don't think it's that terribly difficult to remember. That's what that means. But, you know, just make sure that everybody knows, it's being renamed.
Well, this is the first time I've seen this thing about what we should do to prepare. You might consider updating administrator training and documentation as appropriate.
We have that?
Yeah, that's the advice they're giving. I mean, I guess administrator training for many of us that are in sort of smallish to medium-sized orgs, we're probably the admins that are the only ones that are looking at this, so train ourselves. But if you do have a team that needs to look into this, if it's a service desk and you've given them the right role to see these sorts of things, yeah, maybe a bit of training.
Yeah, I agree with that. So speaking of updates,
yeah,
Daryl, how about talking to us about our title message today?
Mm-hmm. The headline. Updates to meeting chat membership. Chat membership. Do you want to come in and talk? Come on. Be part of this conversation. That's what I'm leading to here.
Do we get a member card?
Huh? Do we get a what? A member card.
A member card.
Only for the duration.
Okay.
Okay. Enough hints and puns. MC226407. I know. It's pretty weak. The updating meeting chat. Let's just see if we can round this up. I've got one better. Let's do this. I think this is coming through. Daniel, does it look okay?
Yes, it looks okay. To me.
All right. We have different types of meetings. We have a single meeting. We have a recurring meeting, right? And
make sure you're very descriptive with your words here, Daryl, because there's
For the podcast,
quite a few people that are listening to the podcast.
Yes, this is true. So I will describe it. Thank you for that reminder. What we have on screen, podcast people, is a couple of drawings to try and illustrate a timeline. And I want you to think of a single meeting to begin with. When you schedule that meeting, then from that point, when you do send it out to people, then you're able to start a conversation with people who have been invited to that meeting. It's great. You know, it's a bit like when you send out an email and you say, there's a meeting on, I want you to do these things to prepare. People can reply to that email inviting you to that meeting and continue the conversation. That sometimes happens. I encourage you to do the same with Teams chat, right? So that you can start that chat and that conversation. When you do get into the meeting, then you've got the chat down the side. which you can open up. It's often used for sharing resources, maybe dropping in some notes if you're just going to use chat to do that. And what was the other thing? You could, like with larger format meetings, that's where people might be using Q&A or just saying they've got something to share, and then you'll get them to raise their hand and come off mute. And then discussion afterwards. So that will happen, you know, as you continue. Now, when you are in a meeting, and this can be whether it's recurring or a single meeting, you will sometimes invite other people that were not on the invite. Now, that could happen when you are adding people via the roster. You go in and say, oh, look, we need to get such and such. Their experience and their opinion on this, can you see if they're available? So you add them in. And similarly, if you forward that meeting invite, maybe it's a recurring meeting invite, and you forward it to someone to be a guest speaker at your team meeting, for example, then they are now part of that meeting. So what happens with this change is it's really all about during that meeting time. So whether it be single or recurring meeting, sometimes what we've had up until now is someone will be invited to this meeting and now they're part of the chat. And sometimes you forget that this guest or this person that wasn't there beforehand is still part of the chat. You can't rely on them leaving the meeting. Maybe if you're quite mindful of this as a facilitator, you will drop them from the meeting so that they're no longer part of that chat. What happens more often is you get into conversations that probably shouldn't be shared with those people that came in to be part of that meeting as just a single time. So this change, in short, hopefully the picture's helped, and my great description of the picture's helped as well. That the change will be when you are invited and you're just added to the meeting in this way, you will only see the chat for the duration of the meeting. I like this. I think that it's going to save face for a few people that have had conversations afterwards and oops, they've let some details go. What are your thoughts on this, Daniel?
Yeah, I agree. And I think it really is trying to bring that experience in line with the way normal conversations have in meeting conversations, right? So it's really trying to align those, because what it has been, it's just been this kind of, it's not been the Wild West. That's a wrong description, but it has been basically, if you ever were added, you know, you get to see everything, you get to participate whether you're needed or not. So I feel like it is a good thing for us to regain some of that control from a perspective of, I want to bring in people when I want them to participate, and then they can leave when they need to, when I need them to, I guess I should say. Mm. So it's good.
Exactly. Hopefully it also gives you a bit of security and safety that when people do leave the meeting, or you rather, these guests have left the meeting, that you can safely continue to talk about other things within your team and not worry too much about that. So this is rolling out beginning early December, completed mid-December. It's not something that you necessarily need to change or do, but it's more about being mindful that when you're inviting people in as guests to those meetings, that it frees some of that concern up, that you can continue to talk afterwards and use that discussion thread to its advantage in Microsoft Teams. All right. Now,
assistance.
Now, something about, I can't think of a segue to this. Daniel, OneDrive and Sync.
Well, if you want it's to an important exclude, thing. You know, you're wanting to exclude people from meeting chat when they shouldn't be part of that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to move and transition to talk about exclude specific files from OneDrive Sync MC22631. Now, this is available for users and for those that are on the insider ring. So if you're in the insider ring, you already know this, but it's Office has these rings available for getting new functionality, and it's testing. It's beta testing, basically. And so if you're an insider and you get insider updates via the Microsoft Office updates, the Microsoft 365 app updates, then in early November, so now, you'll be able to exclude certain file types from your OneDrive syncing. So file types and file names. So extensions and the actual file name itself. So this will be, and they have the version there, so you'll be able to check OneDrive sync client. If it's 20.201, then you have this functionality. And then it'll be available for general availability in early December. So everybody will get it in early next month. And this basically, just like it says, allows you to say, I don't want this type of file, or I don't want this file or files that are named this to be synced to OneDrive. And I think this example that has in the message is a good one, because I've often wanted this, and I'll tell you why in a second, but is link files. So if you create a shortcut to something, then you could say, I don't want those shortcuts to be synced. Where this has come into play for me is if you set up KFM, which is that known folder move, right? Mm. So where you set up OneDrive to sync your desktop and your My Documents and your My Pictures.
Yes.
Then if you set that up on multiple PCs, then you will, you possibly could get multiple links to Edge and multiple links to whatever application showing up on your PCs, because it's all syncing up to the same place and then syncing back down, right, once you set it up. So you can exclude link files, which I think you can use. Some people like that, you know, their link files, that's fine. But you can exclude that, or maybe you want to exclude videos. Maybe you take lots of cat videos and you want to exclude those, whatever. So you get to do that, and there'll be a new little icon instead of the cloud or the green circle with the green checkbox or the green filled-in circle with the white checkbox in it. There'll be a new one that's just a circle with a minus sign, really, which is the they call it the do not enter icon, which I'm pretty sure do not enter is red. But I guess they don't want to make it red because that
is a close up.
There's an error, right? And it's not an error. It's just the way it is. So anyway. Yeah.
Close up there for people watching the webcast, podcast, whatever. Just another icon to understand. But I think you said that link thing is probably the most useful part of it, because if you're using your computer across multiple machines, you're losing the value of syncing your desktop if you've got thousands of links.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think it is a good example that they're giving here, probably because they've heard it. Hey, I've got all these link files. Why is it doing that? I want to be able to exclude it. And you can block certain file types from being uploaded using OneDrive via the admin center. So if there's some special handling that needs to happen here, if you are in your tenant blocking file types using the admin center settings, then what you're going to need to do is first enable this new setting in the OneDrive sync client. Okay. You need to enable that first. Make sure that it is working. So restart. Go ahead and just restart your PC. Might as well. The Microsoft's been pushing out updates lately anyway, so might as well go ahead and, you know, restart. And then making sure that it's working, then go turn it off in the admin center. So if this is something that you're doing across your whole tenant, then that's something that you may leave in your admin center settings for a while, making sure that everyone, you know, does update in December their OneDrive client and, you know, they restart and all of that. If this is new, you don't have this setting, then of course you just set it in for OneDrive and it works. So I think the interesting thing here for me is how you do limit these. And I'm not entirely sure I'm going to like this. If you read this, it says, Where is it at? I'm looking. I made a note, but I'm looking. You set this up in the some sort of file. Goodness gracious. The way you set this up, I read a little bit into this, and it was like, wait a minute, this doesn't seem very intuitive of how we're going to have to set this up to exclude these files. My impression of the way it should work is you would right-click on a file type that you don't want and say, exclude this file type from syncing. That's the way I would want it to do it. Mm. But the it was like they were wanting to do it under configuration policies or something. And I'm like, what?
Oh, wow.
No.
Well, let's have a look. So you just bring it quickly up on screen. Well, it's a registry key to begin with. Yeah. So this isn't something that end users are expected to do, right? Or is it?
No, this is, this is, you enable this via register key. So you would do this in your group policy to send out. But I'm trying to remember the type of files it set. Like the way you do it is in configuration files of OneDrive. So anyway, more to this, I think we probably should, you know, spend some time focusing on this, and I might do a video later on once I do have it. I am in the insider's ring. So once that happens, you know, diving into how to do this, but it did sound kind of complicated. So we will give more information as we have it. Breaking news.
Yeah, because we're waiting for breaking news all the time. That's what we do.
Yeah, speaking of breaking.
Breaking.
SharePoint Spaces. I didn't mean that. I don't know if it's breaking.
It's not broken. It's not broken, but for those of us that may have the privilege of having a touchscreen device, and whether it be tablet or maybe just touchscreen on your laptop, the SharePoint Spaces touch support is improving. That's MC226347. If you have got into creating SharePoint Spaces, they are another way of interacting with content in a SharePoint site. You have to turn that on at the site level and say, I want to enable the ability to create a space. And then it's all about being immersive and being able to move around and scroll around and see like a virtual space for your content. Various different things that are coming there slowly. One thing I like is the virtual tours. So that's one way to show people through where you might work or different sites. But what was lacking was that experience of being able to use it easily with touch. And so this is improving. It is not going to mean that you can create these spaces in that touch experience. You'd still really need the accuracy of the mouse. I don't expect to be able to drag and drop and pinch and zoom and try and get things incrementally to where you want to position them. Still need to use a mouse for that. But I think that this is just inching forward that experience, trying to give it a consistent experience, whatever device you're on. And, you know, I like SharePoint Spaces. I know it's been talked about for a few years now. It was announced at a SharePoint conference a few years back, and now it's out and it's generally available. It was released this year. There's still a lot of question in the community around, well, okay, this is nice, but what do we use it for? I think it's just about recognizing the opportunity for where you might be able to bring people into an environment that they actually can't really visit. And I guess this is probably even truer today. That if you do need to allow people to see a store set up, or maybe a factory floor or a building, or maybe your organization has to go and survey different sites. So it's trying to give you that more of a context of where this information is from. It doesn't have to be decorative. It can be quite useful too, and that's where those that tour app sort of helps as well.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It is helpful, and I know areas where it is helpful. I feel like, though, that authoring requiring a keyboard and mouse is still stifling the solution. Think about this. You're on the factory floor. You are trying to gain assets, video and photo assets that will be part of the space so people can, you know, feel like they're part of it and know where to touch and grab, you know, do this device, push this button, whatever. Yeah. Well, you've got to take those. If you've got a big old iPad or a tablet device, you're taking pictures and doing video. You can't do anything with it. Now you've got to sync it with OneDrive or put it on a flash medium, go back to your desktop and put it in. And why can't I just do it right there? Pinch, zoom, put it there, and I'm done. I get it that there's some technology behind the scenes that prevent that from right now, and that's why they're calling that. But I feel like it is missing out on that capability.
Well, that is rolling out mid-November to targeted release and through to end of November. A standard release will set early December. And yeah, we'll just take a closer look at that once it's available. That was our show for today. We do thank those who enrich the discussion within the chat, as you do. And thank you for listening in too, if you're listening into the podcast. And it's been a interesting year so far. We've still got a little way to go. Come on, people, we can make it. But we'll continue to try and bring you some value and opinions around what's changing in Microsoft 365. We'll see you again next time. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.